Go.
Welcome back to the Haddon for Horrors podcast, where we review horror movies and horror franchises. I'm Mark.
I'm Tawan.
I'm Maria.
And today we're reviewing Black Christmas, released in 2019, directed by Sophia Tackle, screenplay by Sophia Tackle and April Wolf. Maria, can you give the people the plot summary?
Hawthorne College is quieting down for the holidays as students travel home to spend time with their families. But as Riley and her sorority sisters prepare to deck the halls with seasonal parties, a mysterious cloaked figure starts to leave a bloody trail throughout the campus, refusing to become helpless victims.
So this is the last of the... Is it a franchise? It's just a series of remakes. This is the last one, and the first two are a lot alike, down from the setting to the premise to the name of the killer, and then this one is just, I mean, the only similarities is that it deals with sorority sisters and it's set during Christmas.
And it's titled Black Christmas.
Yeah, that's about it. Like, this could have been a completely different movie. It should have been a completely different movie because it doesn't... I don't know. I remember when I first saw this movie in theaters. This is one of the last movies I saw in theaters before shutdown. Before COVID-19.
That's crazy. I would hate this to be the last movie I saw in theaters.
I think this actually might have been the last movie I saw in theaters, actually. And
crazy.
Actually, it wasn't. It's one of the three I had last saw. But I remember I saw this movie in theaters with former co-host Rudy. And we both left the movie like, what the fuck was this? And I'm still like, what the fuck is this? I've only seen this movie once before this rewatch for the review. And I was thinking of maybe some time away. It's been, 4 years? Or however long it's been since the pandemic started. Like, maybe it's different. And I went back to watch it and I was like, no, this movie still makes absolutely no fucking sense, because why is there occult magic in this movie?
Yeah,
why is there... What, Maria?
Like, I don't even know how to feel about it.
Like, why is there black gobbledygook coming out of a statue that's making the men go feral and crazy? Like, I just didn't understand how this Black Christmas is a remake to the other two Black Christmases. Like, who asked for this?
We really can't even call it that. I really feel like this movie was a whole different screenplay, and then somebody at the studio was like, we need a remake of Black Christmas, and said, this is close enough, and slapped the name on it.
Right? And it's just like...
no way.
It's like... something, I felt like they had a movie, and someone at the studio was like, this movie isn't going to sell.
Mm-hmm.
This movie, it's not going to sell. So they was like, let's take a movie title that we know is going to get people to their seats because, you know, it comes with some acclaim. And this is what we got. But Maria, I'm dying to hear your overall thoughts. Go ahead.
I mean, it was just not good. Like, I agree with what you said. Like, somebody made this movie and they were like, yeah, this movie's not going to sell. I just don't understand why, it went from, like, you know, from like a basically like a whodunit slasher movie with the first one and the second one to like to this, you know? I don't even, not to mention the occult, and then the whole like feminist thing going on. Like, look, I'm myself am very much a feminist. Fuck men. But like, I feel like this movie shows a lot of like the toxicity of feminists, if you know what I mean. It was just two very extreme views in this movie, you know, with like men who are also very misogynistic versus like women who are also very, very feminist, you know what I mean? There was just no, I don't understand what political, like who made this movie and they were just like, we're going to make it very political, but we're going to call it horror for no reason. You know what I mean? It just didn't really make any sense. And then it wasn't even scary. Like, nothing about this movie was scary.
It wasn't. So, and the kills were kind of, like, horrible. And, like, there was no one to root for. Like, who was I supposed to, like, whose side were we supposed to take? Because you're right. Like, both, there was a toxic masculinity, but there was a toxic femininity. And it's like, who am I supposed to root for? And then...
Well, I feel like it was easy to know who you're supposed to root for.
Yeah, but they made those characters so unlikable to a degree. And we'll get to that, because there's one character who was, like, extreme, who I just did not like. But then, I feel like all three versions had, like, some type of subliminal messaging. I mean, well, the second one, I guess, like... You know, well, cause the first one was about, you know, woman's choice. She wanted to have her abortion, but her crazy boyfriend was like, no, you can't have an abortion. And then the second one, I guess, was the incestual love affair, rape, or whatever the fuck that was supposed to be. And then this one was all about, I am woman, hear me roar. It's just like, they all three had some kind of weird messaging to go with it, but this one was just like, beating us over the head. Like, I'm all for, like, women empowerment. I love a good movie with a message behind it. But I like a subtle message. Not one that's, like, direct in my face. Just, like... Because the sexual assault subplot was just, like... That was a lot. And for someone who's been assaulted, I was like, what the fuck is this? There's a lot going on here. And... Like you said, Maria, it wasn't even scary. It was just shit happening. Like, the jump scares with the guy in the mask, I was more confused than scared. I just, like, what the fuck is this?
And I just, once you figure out, oh, the whole time, it was just the men trying to take power all over again, using the occult. It was kind of, I don't know, it was stupid.
And Dr. Crazy from Saw was fucking distracting. I'm not gonna lie.
TBH, I'm not gonna lie. When I was watching this, I was like, I know that guy. And then when I was, you know, looking into the movies I do after watching, I was like, oh shit, that's fucking that's Gordon from Saw. And I'm like, no wonder I know this guy, but I don't know why he didn't look familiar to me during the act.
Like, but what are your?
It was him.
It was like a lot going on. This movie had so much, so much up front and so much going on that, like, it forgot to be scary.
Yeah,
I felt like it was so heavy-handed with the messaging it wanted to give us that it just forgot to be scary.
Yeah, and I got that's how I felt about it, definitely. Like, it was not it was not really like scary to me. And also, like, I do agree that, like, the message was, like, you know, a bit heavy-handed, which I feel like in some movies like that, like, it can be that depending on how you go about it, but there wasn't enough, like, in between it. It was just like the heart, like, one or the other side of them. And when you had the one character who went to on the other side with the Helena girl who was kind of being a little pick me, and she ended up getting killed. I was like, oh, so I
guess, such a fucking pick me.
I was like, okay, so I guess like it doesn't even matter at that point. Like you just, this is going, it's just like whatever happens, gonna whatever happens happens. And overall, it just didn't. I don't really know what purpose was supposed to be served with this. Like it didn't make me. It wasn't really making me root for them. Well, you know, it made me root because like they got out of their little situation in a sense, because whatever was happening, like obviously they don't deserve to just like die because these guys decided they want them to die. But also some of the dudes were being brainwashed too. Like they thought they were just joining a frat and not being brainwashed by like a group of like other like frat bros and stuff. So it just was kind of all over the place with whatever, you know, with the messaging it was trying to get across here. And I just didn't all come together. And then there were like parts of it where you like they were playing like the slightest bit of homage to the original, like I like kind of replacing the vulgar phone calls with like DMs or text messages this time, or in certain scenes when people were getting when people would die, it would kind of like be, they were like someone was like hiding in a corner or at
the, well, the way the girls were killing the frat bros were how several of the OG kills were from the first movie. They kind of did a little like twist and turn.
Yeah, and they also not like chase sequences, but you know, like in those like older like slasher movies, like someone will like be standing in the hallway and then the killer would just come out of nowhere with like, it'll be like, it won't be like no music or anything. It'll just like come out of a room and like snatch them up, that type of thing. Like they kind of did like little stuff like that to kind of pay homage, but that was about it as far as like when we got to, you know, pay homage a bit to the other, to like the other films. And it just didn't work for me overall. And I kind of like that this movie has really been forgotten about. Nobody talks about this movie.
And when they do, I'm not one of those people who are like, oh, woke, go broke. Like, but it's like, this is an example of when there's too much. It's just too much. And you take away from the original premise. Like,
honestly, I feel like this movie was made by someone who is very woke, and I feel like they try really hard to be socially woke.
I watched some commentary. She definitely is like a super feminist. Like her whole purpose of wanting to do a Black Christmas remake was to show that the women can be empowered.
Yeah, like it was written. I feel like it was written by someone who, yeah, is trying very hard to be, you know, woke, but hasn't actually gone through any of like, you know, hardships. You know what? You know what I mean? Like they're still, you know, like just privileged people who are very like leftist, like very, very, very leftist. But they haven't actually been oppressed, if you know what I mean. Like, they don't really have that experience, so they try. Because when they were doing that song, and I don't remember that girl's name, the best friend, and she had posted it.
Chris.
And then it made the other girl, the main girl, I forgot her name too. I forgot everybody's name. Riley, yeah, like, she was upset, you know, and then Chris was just like, you know, you have to fight, you have to, you know, you have to step up. And it's like, yeah, I mean, if she's ready, like, I feel like as much as you want to,
I felt that too.
Yeah, like as much as you want, you know, obviously rapists and people, you know, murders and stuff like that to get justice, especially in society today, I feel like you have to have just as much compassion for the victims. Like if Riley just was not ready, that should have been respected. You know what I mean? Like, cause she was having a full blown like panic attack in that kitchen, and Chris was just like, "Oh, I'll just delete it. I'll just take it off later." Like, that's not the point. The point is that Riley just didn't feel comfortable enough. She was not ready. She felt empowered. That was just her moment to break through. But the stuff like that takes time, you know. I just and that's what I mean when this was written by someone who probably hasn't actually lived through it or has a different type of mentality and just figures that everybody else should too. If that makes sense.
No, that's definitely I definitely get that, and I feel the same way about how, you know, they went about the situation, and it kind of got like flipped a bit towards the end when Riley was like, we gotta take them down, like we gotta do this, and then Chris was like, no, we gotta go, like, no, I thought we had to, but I'm like, Chris, well, I thought we had to fight though, you said we had to fight, Chris, like what happened, what changed?
Yeah, I just, this movie guy gave so much mixed messaging, and it's like, we have to support the victims, be there with the victims, know what the victims have agency. But then you have her friend taking away her agency and making her fight about her. And it's like, no, this isn't your fight. This isn't what happened to you. This happened to her. You have to follow her lead. But here she is just like overtaking everything. And it's just like, I don't. Okay, let's move on to the kills. Were there any kills that stood out for you? I would say, for me, the kill that stood out for me in both good way and bad, because it's a kill that looked like it would have had so much potential if we actually got to saw the kill happen and actually got to like see the results. And that was, I think her name was Jess.
Yeah, Jesse.
Like, with the flashing of the lights, and we see the mask and the way she was posed, it's like, that looked like it was probably a good kill that we didn't get to really see. We didn't get to see it happen. We didn't get to really see the aftermath. Like, it was just like hidden for some reason. But what about you, Tawan? What are some kills that stood out? Good, bad, or indifferent?
The only kill for me that kind of stood out, and it only stood out because it was funny to me, and when it should have been, was Marty, the girl who, like, she, like, walked up to the killer, basically, and tried to, like, swing at him, and it was kind of funny because it was comical in the sense of, why would you do that? Like, she honestly could have stayed alive if, literally, she did anything else, probably. It just made no sense for the whole thought process behind what she did to end up getting killed. And I guess another one may have been Nate, which was Marty's girlfriend. I say Marty's girlfriend, Marty's boyfriend. And he got the arrow to a face. We really didn't see it, but like, it happened. So I wish we would have saw it. I'm pretty sure that would have been cool, but we only saw that much of it.
Maria, what about you? What are some kills that stood out? Good, bad, or indifferent?
None of them. It just, the whole crossbow thing, I feel like that was dumb. If the guys are super strong, why are they using weapons?
And what was the significance too? Because that was never explained.
Yeah, because they had the bows, I think, and they kept bringing, and spears, and they kept bringing that back. Oh, well, I guess they're supposed to be hunters. I don't know, whatever.
That honestly sounds right, as cringe as it is, That probably sounds like what they were going for, too.
But it's so weird compared to the fact that, like, the guy they were following was from, like, what, the 18th century or whatever? I don't know. Like, cause, you know, yeah, because it's weird because the guy, clearly you can see he's from, like, you know, I don't even know, like, yeah, the 18th century,
mm-hmm.
17th, whatever. And supposedly he was possessing them. But then why would this guy revert all the way back to, like, you know, being a hunter when, like, if he's strong, he can just kill them with his, I don't know, whatever. That's just me. I don't even know what kill. Like, these kills were just, because all.
They were tame. Very tame.
So tame. Compared to, like.
Even more tame than the original.
Yeah. You literally, people were just getting a bow to, like, you know, or a fucking arrow to their chest or, like, a spear thrown at them. But, like, that was it. And I think when that one girl got killed in the attic, we didn't even see what she looked like or what happened. Yeah, that was just.
Yeah, we literally saw, like, a part of it when Chris went to go, like, see if she was up there. And it was, like, something, like, sticking out of her face. But we saw it for, like, a split second.
Yeah, and even then, it was, like, I don't know. It was, these kills were just not it. I don't remember any of them. But all I remember is people getting, like, stabbed or something. I don't even remember who. You know what I mean? This movie was just not memorable. But I guess no, I don't know. I don't even remember how the guys in the frat died. These kills were just very underwhelming.
Yeah, they were. There was nothing special. So let's move on. Let's move on to the character list. I want to start off with Nate, because I feel like Nate was, I feel like watching the character Nate was when I was like, oh, they're not all bad. They're not all doing this willingly.
Yeah.
Some of them are actually just thinking they're innocently joining frat and they're being poisoned. Because you can tell that Nate, because you're watching the movie, and Nate is, he's sweet, he's a good boyfriend, when there's the issues are happening, he's just there, he's supportive. But then you're, like, slowly seeing him change, and it's like, oh, like, he isn't doing this because he wants to, because he's a misogynistic dick. It's because they've been secretly forcing him to drink the gobbledygook, and now he's fucking crazy. And I was like, damn, he got killed because at the end of the day, he wanted to protect his girlfriend. Yeah, it was very machismo of him towards the end, but he didn't. Like, I don't know. That was the character where I was just like, oh, this movie's messaging is, it's not doing what I want, what it thinks it's doing for me. But what about you, Maria? What are your thoughts on Nate?
I'm glad you called on me because I totally had something to say about that, but, like, I feel like that, like, for Nate and Landon, I feel like that in a way was trying to be like, well, you know, some guys just can't help it, they're just brainwashed, which is another thing for another, you know, way of saying, well, boys will kind of just be boys, you know, and regard, because either way, like, they kind of did what they did, like, these actions were still there. But it just, in a way, seemed to be like, well, they didn't mean it, you know? Especially with, I guess, with Landon. They were trying to kind of show that, you know, he was forced. And I feel like with Nate, I mean, I don't know what the director was trying to, like, show here. But it just kind of seemed for us to excuse them for their behavior. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's, like, that message itself is not, you know, not it, I guess.
Yeah.
Because to me, yeah, it just seemed like that was a way of being like, oh, well, you know, things just happen. People lose their way. But But it's like, okay, but this guy was still over here shouting at his girlfriend, being super aggressive, like blaming victims. And, you know, I mean, not saying he deserves to die, but it's just the way that concept was like shown was just not, I don't feel like it was thought through. I guess it's just, again, it just has to do with this whole fake wokeness, you know, like. It's, I don't know, but that's just how I took that, like, Nate's character, you know? Like, kind of just a way of, like, well, you know, Nate, like how you said, like, Nate didn't mean it, Landon didn't mean it, they were, like, possessed, but then, you know, how would you know that everybody else in the frat was in the same way? Like, if these men were out here hurting women, like, how would you know that they're not victims themselves?
Which is where the, but I think the messaging goes is like just the fact that they joined their frat made them bad.
And I don't think Nate was in the frat though.
I don't think he was, because I think towards the end of the movie we're led to believe that every male at the college.
That was the thing, because
that's the thing. Like, every male at the college was being possessed, and I don't even think it was like willingly at certain points. So it just like
it wasn't willingly, because when Landon went to the house to like distract him while Riley was like trying to sneak in, they like it was like a frequency or something they played.
Yeah,
and then
like I think just like being in like proximity of the statue when the thing is happening. All the men just like turn, so it's just like. So most of those frat guys who were killed at the end could have been completely fucking innocent, like mind controlled guys, just like Nate.
Yeah,
and that's fucking like. It's if they were just some like machismo, overly masculine cult. That would have been fucking perfect. But when they put the occult voodoo magic crap in it, it kind of just like lost it, because most of these guys are brainwashed.
I feel like, but, it's like the director was pushing the narrative of women versus men so hard, but it's like that's not it. Like that's not like feminism. You know, it's for equality, you know what I mean? It's not just, like, it's women only, women on top. I mean, true, but, like, it's not that black and white, you know? And that's what this movie, I feel like, what it was. It was just black and white, men versus women, that's it. If he's a man, he's gonna kill me. I have to, you know, kill him first, you know what I mean? Honestly, I felt the same way about Landon than I felt about Nate, like...
Same.
They were like, you know, Landon was a good guy. He really liked Riley. He was helping her out. And then, that whole frequency thing happened and he turned into one of them. But it's not like he wanted to. Like, he was literally forced. And it's like you just don't know, you know. I guess you just don't know. I guess this is what I'm trying to say. Not really that you don't know, but... I just feel like it was pushing that narrative of, like, some guys just don't want to. It's just, you know, he joined. And he didn't even join. He wasn't even part of the frat. He was just, he was trying to help her out, and he got caught. You know? And it's like, but just because, you know, he was a dude, and he was in the house, then I guess it counts. You know what I mean? And, and I guess at the end, I mean, he helped, sure, but... What about, you know, the other guys that weren't really I'm very doubtful that Landon was like their first victim, you know? I mean, there are a lot of guys out there that are very misogynistic, which is a whole other topic in itself, but I feel like you know, there are some men that also are not. And for them, and you know, so I'm pretty sure they joined this frat thinking it's all cool, because I mean that, I feel like that's the whole college experience, you know. I mean, not like I feel like there definitely has been some frats that, you know, will do some not great things.
Oh,
I feel like
that definitely.
Yeah, so I feel like that's definitely a culture, but like it's not we have to fight them. It's just, you know, you kind of have to get to the root of the problem. And that's honestly, and I feel like that's the school itself. Like, I feel like a lot of these schools kind of let that stuff go,
mm-hmm.
you know, just based off like history and stuff like that. So it's not, you know, I'm not saying it's the guy's fault, because that definitely doesn't excuse their behavior. If they do it, I feel like that behavior has been there. But I feel like if you're going to try to stop, you know, men from being the way they are, that's a whole topic issue versus let's kill this guy right now, you know?
Yeah.
It's more work than what this movie is trying to portray.
Well, Tuan, tell me your opinion of Chris.
Yeah, Chris was pissing me off throughout most of the movie. And it was because she gave, like, fake activists, like, college activist vibes, like...
Yes.
She, like, and I feel like, you know, yeah, like, you agree, like, I feel like a lot of people, like, man, I know anyone like that, but you know of that type where everything is, like, an issue to them, but they're only tackling, like, the surface level issues of it. And then
they, like, removing a statue head, like the bust. Like, you're want to move this bust because the president, the founder, or whatever was racist or sexist or homophobic. Like, yeah, let's remove the statue, but does removing the statue remove the culture that is that still exists at the school? Like, she was, like, crazy. It was too much. And going back to what Maria said about the videotape thing, it's like, you literally, your friend was assaulted. Her safe space, her physical space was invaded. And then you went and you invaded her more by taking away her agency. Like, what kind of activist friend are you, bitch?
And it really wouldn't have been, because, like, nowadays, like, people record stuff, upload it online all the time. But if somebody tells you they have an issue with something of themselves online and you're supposed to be their friend and they ask you to delete or remove it, and instead of even just doing it, you ask why are you even asking? If they don't want it up there, they don't want it up there. But specifically in this situation, like, your friend just like regains, like, you mean, like, some of her agency and doing this performance, and whether you thought it was, like, comical and, like, the way it happened or whatever, like, she felt empowered in that moment. And if she said that she doesn't want it online, regardless of whether that teacher, you know, did something, the teacher, like, said something towards her about it, like, you should just go ahead and do what they're asking you to do because they don't feel comfortable with that. And then, even to add to that, like I mentioned earlier, when, what's her name? Yeah, when Chris and Riley were, like, in the car leaving the house, Riley was like, okay, let's, like, do this at the frat house so that we can stop this from happening. I think I know what's causing all this. And then Chris was like, no, like, we gotta go. And Riley's like, no, like, you said we have to, like, fight. So, like, what are we doing here? And then she decided to leave. And then that's kind of how you see, like, that kind of fake activist thing. Like, you know, like, a real person that's, you know, for, like, a cause, like, they're gonna go to the lengths that they need to go to get that done. But Chris wasn't seeming to put in the work. She just wanted to do the surface level.
I agree. I feel like Chris, it's just that scene where, like, you know, Riley realized that, you know, that, like, that last bit was in the video. Like, I think that's, I feel like out of the whole movie, that's the best acting I've seen. And it's the best, like, the realist, mm-hmm. not realist, but it's just because it's like, you know, she's just freaking out and she's just having a whole kind of meltdown. Because, you know, that's not like she wanted to feel empowered. Yeah. Just, you know, like some women are just not ready. And also the fact that, yeah, Chris wasn't worried about, like, oh, like, is my friend okay? Because, you know, this professor was just telling her these things. She was like, oh, my God, what did he say? Now I have to go, you know, not fight him. But now I have to, you know, oppose him all over again. Like, she was just not worried about her friend. Like, I agree with these, with what Tawan said. She was, I think her stuff was definitely, like, surface level. You know, she was definitely like, yeah, she was just kind of worried. All she cared about was her own agenda. All she cared about was, you know.
Because
it's like, you know, yeah, like, fuck, you know, people who hurt other people. But it's like, you also have to have compassion for the victims. It's not easy, you know, for a victim to come forward. That stuff isn't easy. And especially when her, you know, her assault was broadcasted and 50,000 people saw that and she's freaking out. And Chris was like, oh, my God, I'll just delete it. It's not that big of a deal. Like, she's not the person to be able to tell the victim whether it's a big deal or not. Like, you can clearly see your friend freaking out. Like, she was full on crying. I think she was like hyperventilating and like. Chris was just like, because it didn't affect Chris directly, she was like, it doesn't matter. Like, because I think one of the first things she said was, oh my God, like, yeah, I saw, like, are we viral? Like, really, girl? Like, and then on top of all of that, yeah, Riley just, you know, broke through. She did her performance in front of her, you know, her rapist or whatever. And like, there's no, you know, hey, Riley, like, how are you feeling? Especially because the dude came back and she saw him. Like,
yeah,
you know, it's just, again, like, it takes work. Like, to have a friend to go through that and having to help them get through it, that takes work. But Riley was just like, nah, just fight it. Not Riley. I mean, Chris was just like, just deal with it. You have to fight it. You have to break through. And it's like, yeah, but people do that at their own pace, you know? Like, it's not easy as it is to just say it and tell them to do it versus the person actually doing it.
So, Maria, you're on the roll, so tell us what you think about Riley.
I honestly don't really have a lot of thoughts about Riley. I feel like she might be the most well-written character because, you know, in the beginning she was very much like, you know, still trying to come back after what happened. I mean, she was getting kind of like talked over by everybody and dismissed by, you know, the police and all the men around her. And then, you know, when she kind of had a step up, she did. It sucks that she has, you know, a friend like Chris. Because I think even like Riley said, she was like, you know, you're just pushy. Like, so it kind of seems that Riley was more or less, you know, pressured into doing the dance and the song. And yeah, like, it did help her in the end. But that's not for, you know, Chris to decide. Anyway. But I feel like, you know, towards the end, I feel like, right, like, you can see the growth in the movie. You know? You can see her trying to do better, trying to do the best that she can in her own capabilities. I feel like definitely Riley was definitely, you know, she was definitely trying her best. And I mean, I feel like if this was written in a different, without the whole occult thing, I could have definitely have gone behind Riley being the final girl, you know, but after all that stuff started to come in and it just got really cheesy and then they were all just fighting each other and it was just, it's just everything just got lost, I guess. Like, even the whole, you know, assault subplot just got lost after all of that, and it just stopped making sense, I guess. Or it just, I don't know. Yeah. Everything just got lost. Like, I don't even know. This movie was just not great. But I feel like a protagonist, like, okay, I just feel like the other characters were written so poorly that Riley's character was the most well-written. Because, you know, she went from, like, not standing up for herself to, like, fighting possessed boys. And I feel like it's a steady growth throughout the movie. So I appreciate her character, I guess.
Go on.
Yeah, like, and with Riley's character, like, you definitely, like, feel for her character, and I feel like the actress does well with kind of, like, the little small, like, ticks in her character, I guess you could say, like, when the situation is kind of brought up between, like, her and her rapist, and, like, those little small scenes, or, like, how Maria mentioned when she was kind of having, like, a panic attack almost, or, like, her kind of, like, hyperventilating in a cafe when she saw him, like, walk in. Like, she did good with, like, those small parts and, like, making the character still show that they, you know, obviously aren't over that situation. But I don't know. I feel like a lot of it was kind of lost with the rest of, like, kind of what was happening in the story. I feel like a lot of it was, like, lost in, like, the rest of what was kind of going on in the story, if you kind of, like, get what I mean with that. And, like, everything wasn't really, I don't know, like, I'm trying to, like, pull my thoughts together, because I feel like there's something there for the Riley character out of everybody else, but just because everything else that happened in the movie, it doesn't really let me pull it together all the way. And I think that's what kind of takes away from it. Like, I feel if we had took away the whole occult part with that stuff and made it about them actually, like, fighting an attacker, like, an actual, like, slasher type of thing that was, like, coming for them in their house. I don't know. That probably would have made it better to me. But the whole, like, occult part kind of takes me out of it and doesn't, in my opinion, like, fulfill Riley's character satisfyingly, I guess you could say. And I think that's what kind of takes me out of it a bit. But to bring it back to, like, her character, she did what she kind of could as far as this, like, story was concerned. But I feel like the people around her just kind of let her down a bit. I feel like that's the best way to put it. I felt like she was fine, but the people around her kind of put her down in the situation. Maybe probably everybody except what's that girl named Marty. I feel like Marty was pretty, like, concerned, especially, like, when they heard that guy was back in town. Like, I think she was the first one to kind of, like, ask her, like, how she was, and, you know, would she still want to perform or be at the frat house with the other sisters in her sorority. So, yeah, I just feel like she wasn't really well, like, rounded with the people that were around her. And besides that, yeah, she didn't really give, like, the final girl energy as well. Like, the story that was given to her is, like, a setup for, like, a final girl in a sense. But once we got to the end of it, and then it just cut off at that point, I was like, okay.
Yeah, there are a lot of missing beats from... I don't know, I feel like they had two extremes with Riley and Chris, where Chris was just, like, so in your face, and then Riley was so shy and standoffish, and then at some point, they kind of switched at the end, and it was just like, huh, okay, I don't know how I feel about this now, and then... her kind of, sort of, romance with Landon. It, I don't know. It was just all confusing. But let's move on to who I think is the... well, he is the big bad of the movie, and that is Professor Gleason. Now, again, Dr. Crazy Pants from Saw was definitely... making me do a double take, because I was like, is that Cary Elwes? Because I keep forgetting that he is not American, so the accent always throws me off. But again, he should have just been some crazy cult leader. Like, just some regular crazy cult leader. Like, him being and having this, like, magical... I keep calling the gobbledygook, because, like, what the fuck was that coming out the eyes? Did they ever say? Did I miss a part where that was explained?
I really don't think it was ever explained what it was.
Well, the magic gobbledygook that the professor had was unnecessary. And... I don't know. I feel like he should have been a twist at the end. Because we open the movie and we found out that she's already protested him. She's already have, like, been out for him, Chris. And then we get to the end of the movie and, oh, he actually is fucking bad. Like, why couldn't we have some type of false sense of he's a good guy?
That, honestly, that little change, it wouldn't have made me like it better, but it would have made it less... predictable.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's predictable, and it was just like, I don't know. I just feel like,
or if they did all that just to have him come there and try to help and save them, like, either option is better than what we got.
Well, go ahead, Twan. Give me more on your thoughts on Professor Gleason.
Yeah, he just He really wasn't even, like, he was a villain, like, once we got, like, towards the end, but he was just so not there for most of it that it didn't really even, like, give me anything once he actually was, like, there at the end of the movie. It was kind of like, okay, like, you're a part of this too, but we kind of already knew he was involved in the frat because he was talking to Riley about that video and then what happened to, like how Brian would probably be, like, possibly pressing charges or something like that if it wasn't deleted. And so we, like, knew that he was kind of already in that frame of mind from, like, that scene and then the one that we saw when he was, like, teaching the class. Just his demeanor and the way that he was kind of teaching it, they were, like, it was kind of, like, being forced that to think that we shouldn't really trust this person. And... If it had done the opposite, where they did all that to that point, and then we get to the end, and instead of him being, like, a part of them and helping them with their little cult stuff, or with the bust of Hawthorne, like, maybe he would have came in and tried to, like, help the girls get out of it, and, like, dies in the process or something. Like, something like that just would have been better than what we got, because it just didn't, it didn't change any expectations or, like, differ from what I thought would have happened. And even if I didn't expect his character to be at the end, like, what we already felt like he was a part of it just from the way that they had him act. And they didn't switch it up or anything to make us think any differently. It was just like, oh, this person seems bad. And then by the end, it's like, oh, this person is bad. So... It doesn't really help, I guess you could say. And then also, he just really wasn't given much. He only had those three scenes in the movie the one in the classroom, the one outside of the frat house, and the one in, at the end. So he really wasn't in it much as well to make a presence on us. He honestly could have been cut from that ending scene, and the ending still would have happened the same way.
Maria, what are your thoughts on Professor Gleason?
Honestly, I don't even remember the guy being in the movie. Yeah, I just remember him from that one scene when he was saying all those things, and it was like, that's weird. And another thing, and then honestly, like at the end, when they were like fighting the frat guys, I didn't even realize it was him until somebody called him Professor, and I was like, oh. You know, because we've only really ever met one other professor. That's when I realized it was the same guy. So I guess his character just didn't stand out, like, at all. I didn't realize it was... I thought it was just another frat boy. I don't know. I guess I wasn't looking closely enough, but... yeah, I didn't even realize it was him. So I guess I have no thoughts about the professor.
Could I bring up something about a character that we didn't talk about?
Yes, go ahead.
So one part of this movie that I didn't get involved, that character Helena, who was like the pick me at the end. So out of all the other girls got killed, but Helena, because she said that she would like follow them and like do their bidding, they didn't kill her. But they just straight up killed the other girls. Like, why was Helena spared? Like, I would have liked to know what she did to get spared. Because, like, if she was attacked by one of the frat guys, like all the other girls who were, and they were under the spell or whatever, they weren't talking or taking no for any answers. They were just killing them. So if her name was put on the little table, or an item of hers was put on the table or something to die, like, I don't know. I don't know if I get the... it made no sense to me as to why she was there at the end. It was really just to kind of be like oh, you're still alive type of moment. And it was really more so there for Riley than anything, to just kind of be like, Helena, like, how could you? But it made no sense, because, like, why didn't any of the other girls who died get the same opportunity and only Helena? Because everybody else just got killed, like, straight up. I'm like, so why didn't she just get killed straight up, too?
I feel like she was like, oh, huh. I guess you're right. I wonder if she found out, like, beforehand. And she was like,
I don't know. And that's what I'm wondering too. And I'm like, I don't know. It is weird, but I feel like the guys, when they were under, I guess, the spell, like, they didn't talk. None of them talked or anything. And they were just on like attack mode.
I wonder if she was already a pick me. You know what I mean? Like, if they were, like, if that was already like seen from before. So they were probably like, hey, like, we kind of need a girl on the inside, like, because, I mean, I'm pretty sure they weren't walking around the campus like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they weren't. It was just weird, everybody else just got, like, killed, and then we see the killer, like, behind her, and then
I think, I remember there's a certain scene where they were going through flashbacks where girls were going specifically against men, and they were like targeting those girls to kill them. So I wonder if just Helena just didn't do anything, you know, like if they were just like, we'll give you a chance, because, you know, like towards the end when they told Riley, like, we'll give you a chance to bow down. So I wonder if they just did the same thing to Helena, because they were like, yeah, we can tell that you're not really a, you know, a girl's girl, so you know, bow down to the statue and become one of us. Or not one of us, but, you know, stand behind us, as they said. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I was just wondering. Cause I was thinking about it once I finished watching it. I'm like, why was she speaking?
Yeah.
But moving on to our behind the scenes info, Black Christmas 2019 had a budget of $5 million. It brought in a box office of $18.5 million. Some interesting facts. Director Takao worked extensively to make this vision of Black Christmas as feminist as she could, stating in an interview, "I wanted to make a movie where instead of feeling objectified or watched from a distance, the audience felt seen. And unlike the previous two versions of Black Christmas, the remake was rated PG-13 by the MPAA, a rating to call, sought in hopes of making it accessible to new audiences." Some critics' reactions. The film currently sits at a 40% on Rotten Tomatoes. Roger Ebert gave the film 3 out of 4 stars, stating that it mostly feels personal and urgent, thanks to some atmospheric scenes, scare scenes, and some sharp dialogue that also reflected the world outside the movie theater in ways that most other studio-distributed film horror films don't. Rolling Stone gave the film 3 out of 5 stars, writing, "The best part about Takal and Wolf's take on the material is that it's angry, righteously, deservedly, properly enraged about the crap that many people, but one gender in particular, have to put up with for way too long." The Hollywood Reporter wrote, "Unfortunately, Takal's Black Christmas is far more ordinary and a blunt object in a fight demanding either sharp knives or explosives." Oh, this movie is rated higher than the 2006 one, and I find that to be a travesty.
That's because it came out at a time where, I don't want to go there, but Tuan, Maria, do we cash or pass Black Christmas 2019? Tuan?
I will be passing this movie and watch in... I will not think about it again after this episode, and I will only be watching the 2006 version.
Maria?
I will also pass. There's a lot of... I pass. There's a lot in this movie that there's a lot of ideas in this movie that just wasn't thought through fully. I feel like there's a lot of concepts that I feel like weren't fully explored the way they should have been. And it's not a horror movie. So I will pass.
And let's make it 3 for 3. I also passed. This movie had a lot of messages and a lot of themes. It was shot nice. It looked pretty. The actors and actresses are pretty, but it wasn't scary. It wasn't a horror movie. It was a political thriller that was mixed in with some weird gobbledygook. So it's a no for me. But join us next week as we bookend this entire mini franchise with our ranking episode. It should be a short one since there's only 3 movies, but you know, we talk a lot. So, join us next week. Good night.
If you like this episode, please be sure to check out Hide and Fear Horror's past reviews from big franchises like Halloween, Friday the 13th, and the Chucky franchise, or one-off reviews like Us and Midsommar. You can follow Hide and Fear Horrors on Instagram and TikTok, where the host posts updates and mini reviews. Full episodes are available on several podcasting platforms. If you're listening to us on YouTube, don't forget to please like and subscribe. Hide and Fear Horror is produced by Mark Smart, Maria Perez, and Tuan Griffin. Edited by Mark Smart. Theme by Lethal Injections. The Hide and Fear Horrors podcast is a Letters to Media production.
Should we do an intro?